All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Might be cold outside, Baruch Hashem, but it is so warm around the fire of Torah. Baruch Hashem. All right, Rabosai, our shir this month is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack, memory of Solomon Floret, Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, Shmuel Ben Zachariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. All right, Rabosai, let's begin. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samechei 65. We are... No, I did not get your text. Nothing came through. Go ahead, Will. Tell me. Just tell me.
My son had a little boy.
Mazel Tov, the Gertners. The Gertners are dedicating the shir in honor of their son, in honor of the birth of their grandson, in honor of my son Craig and his wife Miri, having given birth to our first granddaughter. And congratulations to big brothers Reuven, Zev, and Ezra. By Milt and Melanie Gertner. Mazel tov, Mazel tov, Milt. Mazel tov, Mazel tov. Shkoyach. I'm sorry I didn't get the text. All right. What's wrong? Can you swivel this? Can you do this with the... Shkoyach, Milt. Mazel tov, Mazel tov. All right, Rabosai, let's begin. So today's daf is Samechei. We are picking up Samech Tal Amud Beis 64b, and Rabosai, we are picking up with the following. Let's reorient ourselves a little bit. So remember again, we were speaking about the Ger Toshav. Specifically questioning, does the Ger Toshav have the ability to go ahead and be Mevatel Avodah Zorah or not? That is the fundamental issue we are dealing with over here. So remember again, we were suggesting, based on the Brice yesterday, that the Ger Toshav does have the ability to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara ended off by saying no. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we'll say six lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo, litein rishus v'levatel rishus. No, in fact, the Brice was not describing the Ger Toshav's ability to go ahead and be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Rather, again, it was speaking about the Ger Toshav is treated like an akum regarding Eruf. Eruf Chatzeros. Remember again, just a bit of background, the halacha is that if you have multiple homes that open up into a shared courtyard, although midorais you can carry from those homes into the courtyard, because it's all considered to be Rishus HaYachid, midirabanan, because that Rishus HaYachid of the courtyard is shared by multiple mishpachos, you have to engage in what's called an Eruf Chatzeros, where essentially, again, all of the members of that chatzer join into one joint ownership through depositing food in one particular domicile. When they do that, it becomes as if the courtyard is owned by one home, and at that point in time, everyone could go ahead and carry into the chatzer. The Gemara discusses, so the Kiddisanya, Yisrael Mumer, Mishamer Shabbosah B'shuk, Mevatel Rishus. So we'll say if you have Yisrael Mumer, who is at least Shomer Shabbos publicly. Shomer Shabbos B'shuk. He's Shomer Shabbos publicly, even though privately he's Mechalo Shabbos. The halacha is Mevatel Rishus. So we'll say if he doesn't join in the Erev, it's okay. He could be Mevatel, he could essentially negate his ownership in the chatzer over the course of Shabbos, so as to allow the other Jews to join in an Eruv. She'en mishamer Shabbos b'shuk, but if he's mechalo Shabbos b'farhes, if he doesn't even keep Shabbos in the marketplace, ein mevatel rishus, ultimately, again, at that point in time, he cannot just simply be mevatel his rishus to allow the other Jews to carry. Mivnei she'amru, because Chazal said, Yisrael nosin rishus and mevatel rishus. But say Yisrael, if for some reason he did not join into the chatzer, see, he could go ahead and give rishus, meaning he could allow the other members of the chatzer to go ahead and make the eruv without him, which both essentially means yielding or ceding his ownership rights in the chatzer just for the purposes of Shabbos, or mevatel his rishus, uba ovid kochavim, but both say if you have an akum in the chatzer, ad she yiskar. Ultimately, again, the only way to make an Erev Chatzeros, when there is the presence of an Akum, is to go ahead and rent his ownership interest. Ketzad, so how does it work with a Jew? Omer lo Rishusi kinu yilucha, the Jew could say, my Rishus is acquired to you, Rishusi mevutelis lecha, or ultimately, again, my Rishus is bottled to you, so the Gemara says, kinei, and go ahead and acquire it. And for a Jew, the other Jews in the chatzer do not need to do any kind of type of acquisition. So the point over here, the Gemara is suggesting, is that the Ger Toshav has the same status as an akum for purposes of Erev Chatzeros. That the same way, again, that you have to rent the property or the ownership interest of the akum in order to make an Erev Chatzeros, you would have to rent the ownership interest of the Ger Toshav as well. So we'll say, so just how do we paskin like this? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, we'll say, Ovid kochavim avat la'avodas kochavim afapi she'eno shalo. An akum has the ability to negate avodah zarah, even if it's not his avodah zarah, and even if he doesn't worship that avodah zarah. So it's very important. See, even if it's not his, and even if he doesn't, Akum A worships Markalus, he could still be mevatel bal par. Aval katan shein yodei b'tiv avodas kochavim, v'chein shota, v'chein misha ino ovid avodas kochavim. But I will say, someone who doesn't understand idolatry or doesn't worship idolatry, kigon ger toshav, Einam yecholim levatla. So we'll say, so halacha ma'aseh Shulchan Aruch paskins that a ger toshav, who is someone, a Gentile who has renounced idolatry, cannot be mevatel avodah zarah. Only an akum himself can be mevatel avodah zarah. The chiddush is what? A, even if it's not his avodah zarah, he can be mevatel it. And B, even if he doesn't worship that particular avodah zarah, he can be mevatel it as well. So we're going to tell a story now. Actually, an interesting ma'aseh. Rav Yehuda shadar le'korbano. Tap of Samechei. La'avidarna b'yomidam. So we'll say, Rav Yehuda sent a gift to this guy, Avidarna. Avidarna was an Akum, that was his name, on the Akum's Yomtiv. I will say that contradicts the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that you can't give the Akum something on his Yomtiv. So Amar Rav Yehuda said, Yedana de lo palach la'avodas kochavim. I know he's not really from. He's like a shtickle. He's like a little modern. He's a modern akum. So the Maisa, again, he's not a from akum, and I know that he doesn't go ahead and worship his idolatry. So I know that he doesn't really worship his idolatry. So because of that, ultimately, again, I could send him a gift on his yomtiv, and what? And the Maisa, he's not going to cause him to dive into his idolatry. But 1 second. But if that's the case, that he's an akum who doesn't worship idolatry, then Abba said, then what? That should make him a ger toshav. But yet we learned that you can only become a ger toshav if what? If lamaisa, again, you go ahead and you renounce idolatry in front of 3 people. To which the Gemara says, no, kitan yahahi lachyoso. We'll say, no, that status of ger toshav that is only acquired when one repudiates idolatry in front of a basin of 3, that Rabbi will say is when there would be a mitzvah to sustain that individual. Remember, again, halach lamaisa, ger toshav is someone who has renounced idolatry and lives within the Jewish community. There is an obligation to take care, there's an obligation from the Jewish community to take care of that individual, mitzvah lachyoso. So when does that mitzvah kick in? That's when he repudiates idolatry in front of a beis din of 3. That's when you would have lachyoso. But lamaisa, again, in terms of being able to send him a gift for not worshipping idolatry, if you know that he doesn't worship his idolatry, you could send him a gift even on the idolatrous yomtiv. So says the Gemara, V'ha amar rabba bar bar chana amar rabbi yochanan, Beitrai bar bar chana send me rabbi yochanan ger toshav, she'avru alav yud beis chodesh v'lo mal, harehu kimin sheva avdi kochavim. Mostly listen to this. This is actually a wild statement. Rabbi bar bar chana says that a ger toshav, who 12 months went by and he didn't do bris milah, he is like a min in the Ovdi Kochav, which means, we'll say now, to be a min, Sheba Ovdi Kochav, means you're not only an idolater, but what? Right? You're a mamish, like an idolater. You know, you're a shtarker. So what does this mean? A ger toshav has to do bris milah, to which the Gemara says, Hasam, kigon shekibel alav lomo volo ma. We'll say what that's talking about is as follows. If there's a ger toshav who essentially has gone ahead and announced his intentions to convert, right? To convert. And now what happens? He doesn't carry through on those intentions for 12 months. Then we assume that what does that mean? That he has lapsed back to his former ideology. We take that as an understanding that ultimately, again, he has reverted back to avodah zarah. So now the Gemara is introducing us to this interesting idea that if you know of an akum who essentially is not from, he's not really worshipping his idolatry, that halacha lemaisa, you don't necessarily have to treat him as an akum. So listen to another story. Rava amti le korbanah le bar shishach biyom idam. So let's listen to this. Rava sent a gift to bar shishach. So bar shishach is the name of another Ovid Avodah Zarah on the day of his yomtiv. So he sent him a gift on the Yom Tov. Amr Yidana Beit Lo Palach Lavos Chalim. I know that he doesn't really dive into the idols. I know that he's not so from. Ozel, we'll listen to this. Ozel Ashkechei Diyosev Atzavari Bevarda. So we'll say, so one time what happened? Rava went into the bathhouse, and he found that Bar Shishach was sitting in the bath, covered up to his neck in rose petals, the Kaima Zonos Arumos Kame. And there were unclothed prostitutes in front of him. So listen to this. So Bar Shishach says to Rava, Amrle, Isluchu ki agavna la'alma da'asi. So Bar Shishach says to Rava, tell me, is your Olam Haba like this? So Bar Shishach was saying, like, pretty much, like, you know, this is the life, right? Does your Olam Haba measure up to this at all? Amrle, didana difatzveit. Rava says, yes, in fact, our Olam Haba is even better than this. So Amrle, didana difatzveit mihai. Rashisha says, come on, is there anything better than this? Zonos and rose petals, right? Zonos, rose petals and a warm bath. You know, what else could possibly be better than this? Amarle, asun ika aleichu emsa de malchusa. Anan lote havi alon emsa de malchusa. So Rava says something very profound. Rava said, Rashisha, here's the difference. The difference is you're enjoying yourself, you're having a nice time, you're enjoying physical carnal pleasures, but at the end of the day, you live with fear of the monarchy. In other words, you live in fear of another human being. You still have another human being that asserts superiority over you, and as such, you are not totally free. We, in Olam Haba, ultimately, again, have no what he calls imsa de malchusa. There's absolutely no fear of another human being that we have to experience in Olam Haba. Amar Lei, so Bar Shishach says, Ano, miha mai emsa de malcha se'ika alai. So Bar Shishach says, me? I'm afraid of no one. What type of emsa de malcha do I have upon me? What type of fear of the government do I have upon me? So also listen to this. Adiyasi, so while Bar Shishach is still sitting there in his neck, up to his neck in the rose petals in the bath, so asa hahu pristaka de malcha. So one of the emissaries of the king ran into the bathhouse. Amalekum, the kaboy lecha malka. He says to Rav Sheshach, quick, get out of the bath. The king needs you. So amazingly enough, as they're having this conversation, and Bar Sheshach says, me, I am no imsa de malchusa, right? I fear no one. I'm my own man. So the messenger comes in and tells him the king wants to see you now. So he has to dust off the rose petals, send the Zonas home, and he has to get ready to go see the king. So amazingly enough, as Rava saying this to him, this is ultimately coming to fruition. Amarle, so Bar Shishach was so impressed by Rava, so he said the following, Eina debay lemechse lecha bishusa tipaka. Any eye that looks upon you with the intent to harm you should become, tipaka literally means should explode. It should go blind. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the top Rashi. Eina deba ina lemechse lecha bishusa. Ayin hamisav eliros ra'aschem te'akar. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamalei kol ta'avaschem. Sha'af sichaschem misbareres. So Bar Shishach was saying to him, I'm so impressed by you. Any eye, anyone who tries to look upon you and do something negative, that eye should explode. Because Bar Shishach was so taken by the fact that here Rava's talking to him, and Rava's words are coming to fruition right as he's talking. So what happens? Amar li Rava, amen. Rava said, amen. What happened in that moment, Rava Osai? Paka ina de Bar Shishach. Bar Shishach's eye exploded, or whatever, went blind. We'll say the idea being that apparently Bar Shishach himself in this conversation was trying to be disparaging of Klal Yisrael. See, here he says anyone who tries to be disparaging or speak negatively or do something negative to Klal Yisrael should go blind. Rava says, Amen, and Bar Shishach goes blind. Amen, Papi. So we'll say, okay, that's the end of the story. That's the end of the story. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rapapi, Iboile v'memrele mehaikro. Actually, I'm sorry, it's not the end of the story. Rapapi says, so we'll say, remember again, let's go back for just a moment. So Rava walks into the bathhouse, sees Bar Shishach partaking of the pleasures of this world, and Bar Shishach says to him, ultimately again, can your Olam Haba even compare to this? So Rava says yes. Rava says yes, our Olam Haba is even greater. And he relates about the imsa de malchusa, about the fear. So the Rapapi says, why didn't Rava answer Bar Shishach from the following? Mehaikra, but say, goes over the pasuk from Tehillim. Binos melachim bikarasecha nitzva shegalim mincha bekeser ofir. So literally, again, the daughters of kings will be your accompaniment. They'll be crowned with the jewels of Ophir. So we'll say, what the Gemara's understanding is to mean over here, it's a reference to Olam Haba, the idea being that we will dwell with royalty in Olam Haba. So we'll say, so it seems to be what Rav Papi was saying is, Rav Asher said, listen, Bar Sheshach, you know, you surround yourself with Zonos, that's fine, but in Olam Haba, we surround ourselves with royalty. Why didn't he answer that? Or he could have said, the Gemara says, Amr Nachar by Yitzchak Ibaile the Memra Le Mehacha. He could have said the following pasuk: Ayn Lo Raasa Elokim Zula Secha Yas El Mechakelo. Or Bosse could have answered from the pasuk from Yeshaya: No eye has seen, except for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you will do great things ultimately for those who wait for you. So Bosse, this pasuk is often quoted when discussing Olam Haba, right? Ayn Lo Raasa. That we know Olam Haba is great, but yet again, no one's ever seen it. Or I should say, no one's ever seen and has come back to speak about it. So therefore, again, we know that it's incredible, we know that it's wonderful, but yet it defies comprehension and defies description. So the Gemara is pointing out that Rava could have given additional answers to Bar Sheshach in addition to the one that he gave. Fine, so we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, this actually is a very interesting idea. So how do we paskin in terms of sending a gift to an akum who's not from? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is in Kuf Mem Ches Sifhei, Aser L'shloach Daron L'Ovid Kol Chavim B'Yom Chagam. We'll say you're not allowed to send a gift to an akum on his Yom Tiv. Ela in kein noda she'ina moda ba'avodas kochavim ve'ina ovdam. But also, unless, of course, you know that the akum doesn't really believe in the avodah zarah and he doesn't serve it. So we'll say, so that indeed is halacha l'maaseh. So for example, if you know of an akum that ultimately does not really go ahead and serve his avodah zarah, so you'd be permitted to go ahead and give him a gift. So we'll say, you should know, like, this actually is halacha l'maaseh because people give holiday gifts all of the time. And just, you should know, giving someone a holiday gift is not a posh thing. It's not a pasha thing at all. So again, there are ways to deal with this in terms of you don't give somebody a gift on December 25th, but rather you can give them a seasonal gift, like a happy season. What do they call it? Happy holidays, right? So it might be for Hanukkah, it might be for this, it might be for Kwanzaa, it might be for Easter, whatever it is. You know, there's a variety of different things. But I will say, but there is mamish an issue of giving someone a gift. Again, this is assuming that Christianity, this is part of a much bigger discussion, I should say, in terms of what other religions qualify as avodah zarah. We know that just because a religion is not Judaism does not automatically go ahead and make it avodah. We know, for example, Islam is not avodah zarah. Islam is not avodah zarah. That's virtually clear in all of the poskim. Christianity itself is a machlokes about. But without getting into the whole discussion over here, for our purposes here, the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows, that if you have someone who quote-unquote is an akum, but yet, again, he's a non-practicing akum, that halacha l'maaseh, again, the prohibitions that we saw on gift-giving by the akum yomtiv, which we were introduced in the beginning of the Masechta, will not apply to that particular individual. Good. Let's go back there. The Gemara goes on. Two dots. So let's remember again, going back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, if a Jew was hired to work with the Yai Nesach of the Akum, so the wages from that work will be aser. However, if the Jew is hired from some other kind of work, and what? And then he ends up moving barrels of Yai Nesech, the wages are permitted. So says the Gemara, really? So the Gemara says, Va'af al-gav, Dilo Amr Le Isuse Erev. So they both say, the Gemara introduces here a phrase of Le Isuse Erev. Le Isuse Erev means comes nightfall. We'll say comes nightfall. Le Isuse Erev is the phrase that means after the close of the workday. So what the Gemara is suggesting about says as follows, that it sounds like from the Mishnah that as long as the Jew was hired for another task, even if he ends up moving Yai Nesech one, whether it's during his workday or after the workday, the wages will be permitted. So the Gemara says, is that true? That even if he goes ahead and ends up moving Yai Nesech one during the actual workday, that ultimately the wages will be permitted? or mini. Mazar is the kasha hasocher es apoel. If somebody hires a worker, olu susi erev amarlo haever chavis shal yanim makom lamakom scharo mutter. Both say if an akum hires a Jew to work for him, and then after the close of the workday, they both say now what's the chavit after the close of the workday? The assumption is after the close of the workday, the wage has already been earned. We're talking about day laborers. So you get paid for a day's work. A day's work is defined, let's say, for argument's sake, from 9 to 5. So now what happens? The Jew works from 9 to 5. At 5:15, the Akum says, can you do me a favor and move some barrels of wine for me? So what's the halacha, Rabbosai? Scharo mutter. The wages of that day are mutter. Rabbosai, now why the wages of that day mutter? Taima damar lei lisuse erev. So the Gemara says, in kula yom alo. Both say, sounds like why the wages mutter? Why? Because it's after the close of the workday, which means the wages that have been earned were earned for permitted activity. This is kind of the Akum's asking me to do him another favor. Fine, I'll move some barrels for you. But that avoda is not included in the wages of my day. To which the Gemara says, lisu se erev in kula yom alo. Amra bayi kitna naimas nisin. Dormer le isu se erev tan. So Abayi says, you're right. Both say, when the Mishnah says that if I'm hired to do a job by an Akum, stam job, and then he also asks me, and I end up moving some barrels of Yai Nesech wine, that my wages are mutter, we'll say, when are my wages mutter? If I went ahead and moved the barrels, when, Rabosai? After the close of the workday. So I earned my wage for that day, right? Whatever. So we'll say, so let's say again, if I earn $500 a day, so after the close of the workday, I earned my $500, he's asking me out to move some barrels. That's fine, because that avoda is not reflected in my earnings. So we'll say that's how Abayi understands the Mishnah. The reason the wage is mutter is because I'm moving the barrels after the close of the workday. Rava Amar, the Rava says, no, there's no contradiction between the Brais and the Mishnah. Lo kasha, Had, obviously that's actually quite interesting. Hadda Amar Lei, Ha'ever Li Mea Chavios Mea Prudos. Hadda Amar Lei, Ha'ever Li Chavis Chavis Bepruta. But say, here's the distinction. Rava says, one is talking about a case where what? Where the Akum says to me, move 100 barrels for 100 prudos. And the other case is where he says to me, move the barrels, and for each barrel I'll pay you a pruta. But what's the difference in those two cases? In the case where the Akum says 100 barrels for 100 prudos, so what's the way we interpret that statement is, you only get paid if what? If you move all 100 barrels. Now included in those 100 barrels are what? Are Yayin Esach. So we'll say, because in that case, the totality of my wage is dependent on the moving of the barrels, therefore, of the Yai Nesach barrels, therefore, again, the wage is Asr. Masha'inkin, if the Akum says one pruta per barrel, then what do I say? I'm permitted to collect the wage for all of the permitted barrels. The only thing is, I won't be permitted to take the wage of the Yai Nesach barrel. But the wage in its totality is permitted. Why? Because it's not for a unit of barrels, but rather, again, it's per barrel. So therefore, again, Rav is making the suggestion, Rav Osai, that the Mishnah that says that I could go ahead and accept the wage is where it's set up as, Akum says to me, I'll pay you one pruta per barrel. So essentially, Rav Osai, if I end up moving Yai Nesach barrels, I can't accept the pruta for that barrel. Or if I did accept the pruta for that barrel, I have to divest myself of that pruta. I've had time, Rav Osai, first wide line, Samechem and Aleph, I've had time, we learned, has a socher es apoel, what we learned, if somebody hires a worker and he says to the worker, go ahead and move for me 100 barrels for 100 prutos, and ultimately again they find one barrel of Yai Nesach there, so what's the halacha? Scharo aser. Ultimately, again, the schar will be aser. Both say, now this Hatan Rashi points out is binichusa. Binichusa also means this is a support. This is a proof to what we just said. So if the Akum hires me to move 100 barrels for 100 prutos, and then it turns out that there's a barrel of Yai Nesech in there, so the wage is aser. Why is the wage aser, both say? Because the totality of the wage was made dependent on what? The moving of the barrels of Yai Nesech, and therefore the wage itself in its totality is mutter. Is Asr, thank you. So the Gemara says, however, but if he says move right, one pruta per barrel, the name says chavis shayai nesach beinayan, and there's a barrel of yai nesach between them, said, then what? Then scharo mutter. Then the wage is mutter. We'll say, now what that means is the wage minus the pruta for the barrel of yai nesach is going to be mutter. And we'll say, this is indeed his halacha l'maisa. So again, where the totality of the wage is dependent on something to do with yai nesach, then the wage itself will be asr. But essentially, when the wage is broken up into individual individual units, in this case barrels. So again, I can't benefit from the wage associated with the moving of Yayin Nesach, but I can get benefit from the rest of the wages. Good. Hasoch Resachamar Lahaviala Yayin Nesach, Scharod Asa. So I'll say similarly again, if an Akum hires my donkey, he rents my donkey to transport Yayin Nesach, then what? Then the rental wage is Asr. But if he hires my donkey to what? To carry his stuff or to ride on it, and he ends up resting legino, his flask on it, then the wage is mutter. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, Hasulamli. So I don't say, why do I need this case? Well, say, this pretty much is the same thing as the previous case. Hainu Reisha, Sefer Tzrichale, Schara Le Shevala, Afa Pishenech Ovid Kochavim Legino Ala Schara Mutter. Well, say, I tell you why we need this case. We need this case because of the Sefer. What did the Sefer say? That if the Akum rented my donkey to ride on it, and he ends up going ahead and putting his flask on it, so scharo, the wage is mutter. Lememra dilagin lavdino hula osve. We'll say why. Now is that to say that lemaisa the akum has no right to put his flask there? So essentially, he's doing something that's not part of the scope of the rental agreement. So because not part of the scope of the rental agreement, that's he's violating the terms, but I can keep the wage. Or mini, is that true? Hasocher, sachamer, socher. So we'll listen, it's actually very interesting halacha. If somebody rents a donkey, so socher, the renter, so we'll say, if you rent a donkey, there's like terms of conditions. You know, I guess it's like lahavdil, if you rent a car. So there's a parameter to the rental. There are certain things that you're allowed to do, certain things you're not allowed to do. So you rent a donkey, there's a term of rental as well. What's the term of rental? So the Gemara says, socher maniach alav kisuso. So we'll say the renter, so meaning there are weight restrictions as to what you're permitted to put on the donkey. So the socher could put on his clothing. In other words, the essential will say is, why is somebody renting a donkey? Why are you renting a donkey? Right? So you're going somewhere. You're traveling somewhere, right? Vacation, right? It's like the Talmudic RV, right? You're going your road trip. So what happens? What can you put on the donkey, Rabosai? So the renter, mutra socha maniach aleksuso, you can put your clothing on it. Uliginaso, and your flask. Can't go anywhere without your flask. Right? So you have your clothing, your flask, and mizonosa. It's interesting the order over here, right? Your flask comes before your food. So, you go ahead, you put your flask on there, your mezonos, shalos sadech. Well, so you could put essentially everything you need for the journey, you could put on that donkey. So you could put your clothing, your flask, and your food. However, the Gemara says, mikan ve'elech chamer ma'akilov alav. So we'll say, now, interestingly enough, you know, sometimes when you would rent a donkey, we'll say, that often would come with a driver, right? The chamer, someone to lead the donkey. So anything more than that, the donkey leader, no, donkey, driver, good, fine. The donkey guy, right, could go ahead and tell you too much. He could stop you from putting anything else on the donkey. On the flip side, chamer maniach alav se'orim v'tevin u'mizonos osha osa yom. We'll say the donkey driver, what is he permitted to put on the donkey? He could put on there the grain, the straw, and his mizonos for that day. So interestingly enough, the renter could put his provisions for the journey. The driver could only put his provisions on there for that day. Mikan ve'elech, if the driver tries to put anything more on there, socher ma'akev alav, the renter could prevent from doing so. Amar Abaye, nihi delagin dinu hudolo. So what do you see from here? You see from here that putting a flask on the donkey is a normal term of rental. So as such, again, why is it permitted to keep the rental if the Akum indeed puts his flask on there? If putting the flask on the donkey is considered to be a normative part of the rental. So Abaye says, I'll tell you, nihi delagin dinu hudolo sivi, miha ilo mosivle miha mina le nechile igra diligino. So we'll say, Abayas is, here's the difference of, we'll say, putting the flask on the donkey is such an inconsequential act. What's the raya? What's the proof to that, Abosai? If it turns out that the Akum rents my donkey and he doesn't use it, he doesn't put his flask on it, does he have the right to ask me for money back? Right? Does he have the right to afford a donkey rebate because he did not go ahead and put his flask on? And of course, the answer to that is no. So because it is such an inconsequential act, therefore, what Rabbi say, it's not considered as if the donkey is being used for Yayin Nesach, and therefore, again, the wage, or I should say, the rental amount will be permitted. So Rabbi say, and the Gemara goes and focuses on this price we just quoted. Hechi Dami. So we'll say, interestingly enough, let's talk about the scope of this donkey rental. Hechi Dami. Idish Shiach Lemizban Chamar Nami Le'akev. Rabbi say, I don't understand. If where they're traveling, there's the ability to go ahead and buy food relatively easily, so then the chamar, the donkey driver, should be able to permit the renter from putting all of this additional stuff on the donkey. V'idloshchiach lemizben, and if it's not easy to buy stuff on this road that they're traveling, socher nami lo la'akiv. Then also even the donkey driver should be permitted to pile on more food for the journey. Rapapa says no. Lo tzicha d'shiach lemitrachu lemizben me'ona la'on me'avna la'avna. So we'll say, Rav Papa says, what's the case? So we'll say, the case is where there is food available, not easily available, but as they go from town to town, there's the ability to kind of work hard and find provisions. So watch this. Chamar darki l'mitrachu l'mizbin, socher lav darki l'mitrachu l'mizbin. So we'll say the donkey driver is used to going ahead and actively seeking out provisions each and every day. So therefore, he is limited to what he's permitted to put on the donkey. The renter, I will say, doesn't want the tircha of finding new provisions in each and every town they go to, and therefore he's permitted to put more on the donkey, everything he needs for the entire journey. Avud Rav Acha b'Rei Ravika. So we'll listen to this. The father of Rav Acha, the son of Ravika. So we'll say, who is the father of Rav Acha, the son of Ravika? None other than Ravika. So we'll say, so what happens? So Ravika, Amadeis. So listen to this. Ravika, Havashafik lechamra laovde kochavim. Let's listen to this. So Ravika used to go ahead and pour wine for the akum. Now what's this case? Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi, Samachem of these. Havashafik lechamra laovde kochavim. Hu haya mocha lem yayin. So we'll say Ravika used to sell wine to an akum. Now remember, there's nothing wrong with me selling my wine, to an akum. So he used to sell wine to an akum. Listen to this. Listen to this. Ravika used to have a wine business, and he would sell wine to an akum. Now, interestingly enough, what would often happen is he would take his wine and he would pour it into their wineskin. So the akum would come, he would pour it into their wineskin. But say part of his business is they would give him back the barrels. Now normally, when you sold wine, wine was often, or was at times sold by the barrel. And the barrel itself, of course, is valuable. Valuable not only as the current receptacle of the wine, but I also, depending on the wine, and depending on the barrel, might also be able to reconstitute additional wine in that barrel, depending on the absorptions. So in general, again, when you sold wine, the price of the barrel was factored in as well. In Ravika's case, also, what often happened is he would pour the wine from the barrel into the wine skins, and he would retain the barrel, or the barrel would be given back to him as part of his fee. So, Havashafech lu chamelo avdikchum, va'azel ma'avra luhu me'avra, v'yavulei gulfi be'igra. So, we'll say, so what happens? So often, it would appear as he would ferry the Ovdei Kochavim from one side of the river to the other side of the river. He would pour his wine into their wine skins, and they would give him back his barrels as part of his wage. Asu, so there were other Jews who saw him doing this. Amrulei la'abaye. So we'll say, so they said to Abaye, Rav Ika's essentially, we'll say, now here's the issue. The issue is once that wine was poured into their wineskins, that becomes Yayin Nesach. So effectively, again, Rav Ika's making his money from Yayin Nesach. So what's happening over here? To which, so they said to Abaye, Rav Ika's making the money through Yayin Nesach. So what happens? So ultimately, again, Abaye says, no. When Rav Ika is actually making the sale, he is engaging with permitted wine. We'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi's gear says a bit different. Rashi's gear says, Bedidei Katarach. Shayayin eno ne'asar ad shemagia lekarkoz shal zike didau. Zike shal or gulfi shal cheres. So let's listen to this. So interestingly enough, what Abaye said was as follows. When does Rav Ika make the sale of the Anabo? Say, when it's poured. Now, when it's poured, that's when the Akam acquires it. When does it become Yayin Nesech? Only when Anabo say, only once it hits the bottom of the wineskin. So technically speaking, at the time of the pour, it's actively permitted. So therefore, at the time of the sale, Rav Ika is dealing with permitted merchandise. And therefore, again, Alokha Lamay, so this is a permitted transaction. I, Baharotze Bikiyumo, Dilonitz Turuzeki. But one second. But Rav Ika, we'll say he wants the wine to become permitted. Right? Excuse me. He wants the wine not to endure. That's the wrong. He wants the wine to be maintained. Right? That's rotza bikim. Remember, we spoke about this before, that when a Jew has a vested interest in the continued maintenance or continued existence of yayin esech, that is problematic as well. But rotza bikiyumo, delo nitzteru zeki, that will say ultimately, again, that's what Rashi says, shalo yizbaku hanodo shalahem, v'yitztarchu legulfi, v'lo yov lenihil. That will say, he wants the wineskins ultimately to remain intact, because if the wineskins break, he's going to have to give them the barrels. To which the Gemara says, demasni bahadayu. Ultimately, again, where the case over here is Rav Ika made a condition with them that essentially once I go ahead and pour you the wine, I'm out. Right? I get my money, I get my barrels, and we're done here. So if your wine skin breaks, something else happens, not my problem. Or the Gemara says, inami demaisu prisdaki bahadaihu. Or about say the cases where what? Is ultimately again where the akum bring, they would bring additional utensils. So that in the event that the wineskin would break, so ultimately again they would have other utensils to catch the leaking wine. I v'hokama avraluho me'avra tegatarach b'yisura. But one second, but lemaisa again, he is actively ferrying them over from one side of the river to the other. We'll say again, is that not actively facilitating them to the performance of an isur, i.e. the creation of yayin nesach? To which the Gemara says, da'amrle lemavruya me'ikara. So the possibility is, Ravika went ahead and said to the ferryman from the beginning that when you go ahead and you see people who want to come over to my wine shop, ferry them. So we'll say he makes a pre-arrangement. So because he makes a pre-arrangement, it's not problematic. Inami dinikiti behikitiri. Or Rabbi said the people who used to want to buy wine from Ravika literally would hold the knotted rope. I guess the knotted rope was the sign they wanted to go across. The point over here is that Ravika himself is not involved in the active ferrying of the customers from one side of the river to the other, and therefore again there is no iser. Says the Mishnah Bosai. Yayin esach shenafal gabe anavim. We'll say if you have yayin esach that fell on top of grapes. So we'll say this is where I have grapes, regular grapes. Yayin esach falls on top of them. So what's the status of the grapes? So the Mishnah says, yadichan vehein mutaros. So we'll say ultimately again, we just wash them down and the grapes are mutar. Vimhayum mevukos, but if the grapes had cracks in them, then asuros. Because we'll say, what's the issue? The issue is yayin esach is going to seep inside. Naf agabe teinim agabe tamarim. So we'll say similarly again, if the yayin nesach falls on figs or on dates, im yesh bahen b'no same time, we'll say if ultimately again the wine infuses taste into them, so then usher. Then ultimately again the grapes and the figs will be usher. So we'll say, so again, we're being introduced because no same time. If the wine contributes flavor, then ultimately these items will be usher. Umaseh bebaitos benzonin. So we'll say there was once an episode with baitos benzonon. Shehevi grogeres besvinar. Let's listen to this. He was bringing grogros. We'll say grogros are dried figs. He was bringing dried figs on a boat. Vinishtabra chavish shayayin esach. And we'll say while he's on the boat, there was a barrel of yayin esach there. The barrel of yayin esach broke. Spilled v'nafa al gabeyan. Spilled on the figs. V'shadal chachamim. He asked the rabbis, "Nu, what's the status of my figs?" V'tirum. And the rabbi said, the figs are permitted. Zaklas, we'll say this is the principle. Kol shebahana also benosin tam aser. We'll say if yayin esach falls on something and it infuses flavor, meaningful positive flavor, then halacha lemaisa the object will be aser. Kol shein bahana also benosin tam mutter. And we'll say, but any time yayin esach falls on something but does not contribute a meaningful positive flavor, then ultimately again the object will be mutter. We'll say, what's an example of something that is usher that doesn't contribute a meaningful positive flavor? Kigon chometz shenofa al gabi grisin. This would be an example of, let's say, vinegar. Remember again, vinegar could become usher or could have been usher as yai nesech already. Vinegar of an akum that falls al gabi grisin, that falls. We'll say grisin are like are beans or lentils. Right, so this again would be what we call nosin tam lefgam. It contributes to negative taste. Okay, so then the Gemara says as Azbosai. Says the Gemara, Maisa Lister, I don't understand. Your story contradicted the principle you said before. Bosai, remember again, what did the Mishnah say before? The Mishnah said that if Yai Nesech falls on the Te'in and falls on the figs, if the Yai Nesech goes ahead and what? Contributes a positive flavor, then it's Aser. Then the Gemara tells the story about Baitos Benzonin. Bosai, what happens to Baitos Benzonin? He has his figs on the boat. What happens? Barrel of Yayin Esach breaks, gets on the figs, and what was the halacha? The figs are mutter. So I don't understand. You just told me that if Yain Esach falls on the figs, it's Aser. Then you tell me a story of Yain Esach that falls on the figs, and it's Mutter. Why would you bring a story that contradicts the principle? To which the Gemara says, you're right. They both say the Mishnah is missing a couple of lines, and here is how it is to be read. In no same time with Gam, Mutter. But say, if wine falls on the figs, and it's no same time with Gam, but say, no same time with Gam means that it contributes a negative taste, i.e., the flavor infusion has a negative impact on the food item itself, then ultimately the food item remains permitted. So the Gemara says, and therefore, then about say the Mishnah tells the story of Baitos. What happened with Baitos ben Zunan? Shayamevi grogeres bisvina. He was bringing his dried figs on a boat. Vinishtabra chavis shayayin nesech. And the barrel of yayin nesech broke. Vinafal al gabehen. And ultimately, again, spilled on the figs. Uba ma'isef nechachamim. And this episode came before the chachamim v'tiru. And Rabbosei, ultimately, again, they permitted the figs. Why did they permit the figs? Why, Rabbosei? Because it was a case of no sin tam lefgam. Because ultimately, again, the wine contributed a negative taste to the figs. Good. Let's go vaytu. Vaytu. Ahu kri dechiti, denafel alecha visa diyayin nesach. There was a pile of wheat, and the barrel of yayin nesach broke and spilled on the wheat. So now the shayla, of course, becomes, what's the status of the wheat? Shaire Rava lezebunle ovdikchom. Rava permitted the owner of the wheat to sell the wheat to the ovdikchom. So essentially, again, you can't eat the wheat. Why can't you eat the wheat? Because Lamais again have a concern that there may be some yayin nesach involved there, but you can sell it, which means what? You get hanah from it. So this, which is another way of saying it's not us, it's really mutter. We're just not going to let you eat it. So Isre Rava barley vay le Rava. So Rava barley vay posed the kasha to Rava. Beget sh'avar bo kilayim. But listen to this case. Let's say you have a garment that shatnez got lost in it. They're both saying, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Sh'avar bo kilayim, sh'arug kilayim chut echad ve'ein mokamo nikar. So I'll say the case over here is where what? That you had woven kilayim into it. So sh'arug kilayim chut echad ve'ein mokamo nikar. So we'll say you have an issue over here of shatnez. The issue is there was shatnez, but you don't know where it got mixed in. Hare zelo yim karena lo obikom. So we'll say you can't go ahead and sell this to an akum. V'lo yasena mardas lachamer. And we'll say furthermore, you shouldn't make it a saddlecloth for your donkey. Now, why shouldn't you make it a saddlecloth for your donkey? Well, it's actually quite interesting. So now we'll see the reason you can't sell it to an akum. Rashi already points out is we're concerned that the akum is going to what? End up selling it to a Jew. So you can't make it into a saddlecloth. But it's actually quite fascinating. Why can't you make it into a saddlecloth? Because what happens sometimes if I had a hole in my garment and I needed to patch it up, often I could take the patch from my saddlecloth. So because of that, there's a concern that it may wind up as part of my clothing. But what can I do? Aval osa tachrich lemeis mitzvah. I will say what I can do with it is I can make it into burial shrouds. I can use it for a meis mitzvah. Rashi says, tachrich and lemeis, we'll say it's the second white line in the bottom of Rashi. Dechsiv b'meisim chofshi, kevan shemeis adam nasa chofshi b'na mitzvah. So we'll say when a person dies, they are free from all mitzvah obligations. Therefore, again, a meis has no issues concerning shatnez. Therefore, you could use this garment, which has some potential lost shatnez in it, as tachrich for meis. So it says, le'ovikochav in my time below. We'll say, why can't I sell this garment to an akum? Dilma asi lezebuni liyisrael. Because there should be concern that what? That he's going to go ahead and resell it to Yisrael. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that something that a Jew can't use, you can't just automatically say sell it to an Akum, and if concerned the Akum is going to resell it to the Jews. Let's go back to our case. I have Yain Nesek that's spilled on the wheat. We'll say, so what did we just say? A Jew can't eat it. So what was the solution? Sell to an Akum. Why shouldn't I be concerned that what? That maybe the Akum is going to end up selling it to another Jew. Hachanami asi lezebuni liyisrael. To which the Gemara says, "Hadar shara lemitchinu ulemifninu ulezabinu laovde chacham shalom b'fnei Yisrael." We'll say, "No." So what's the case over here? The case over here is where I ground it up, I go ahead and I bake it, and I sell it to an akum, not in the presence of a Yisrael. So we'll say, therefore, one of the Girashi, Shalom Efnei Yisrael, the Chazi Yisrael, the Yisrael Chavrei Mazbele Ovichavim, Hadar Zabin Le'ihu Miat Ovichavim. So we'll say, listen to this. The issue or the concern that the Akko may take this wheat and sell it to another Jerobos, it would only be in a situation where what? Where the Jew sees me selling it to the Akko. So we'll say, so what do? I grind it up, I can make it into a loaf of bread, and I can sell the loaf of bread to an Akum. But I can't, but I have to sell it not in the presence of another Jew. So if the Jew doesn't see me selling it to an Akum, then what? The Akum is going to have a loaf of bread. I will say, is a Jew ever going to buy a loaf of bread from an Akum? And the answer is no. Why? Because we'll say, that's Pas Akum. We already established that. So essentially, the Gemara says over here, is I can make it into bread, sell it to bread, not in the presence of the Akum, not in the presence of Yisrael, so then I don't have to be concerned that the Akum is going to sell it to another Jew, or another Jew is going to buy it from an Akum, because all the Jew is going to know is that this is a loaf of bread owned by the Akum. The Jew, therefore, won't come to purchase it from the Akum, because ultimately, again, it has the status of Pas Akum. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this, so we'll continue tomorrow. Why is it? I think the laws of Bittul by Kilayim are different. The laws of Bittul by Kilayim are different. I have to look at what the laws of Bittul are. Yeah. Sorry? A bigger shear. Yeah, I don't remember offhand what. I don't remember.